Hey writers, hashtag AmWriting is supported by Author Accelerator, where you'll find all kinds of things to support your 2020 goals, from writing coaches to help you with your work in progress, to training for a book coaching career of your own. Not to mention tools for shaping fiction, nonfiction, and all kinds of little things that really help you get the work done. Please go have a look at www.authoraccelerator.com.
Is it recording?
Now it's recording.
Yay!
Go ahead.
This is the part where I stare blankly at the microphone. Try to remember what I'm supposed to be doing.
All right, let's start over.
Awkward pause.
I'm gonna wrestle some papers.
Okay.
Now 1, 2. Okay.
Hey, I'm KJ Delantonia, and this is hashtag AmWriting. Hashtag AmWriting is the podcast about writing all the things. Fiction, nonfiction, pitches, proposals, any goal you've got set for next year, we're going to talk about the challenges of getting that writing project done.
I'm Jess Leahy. I'm the author of The Gift of Failure and a forthcoming book on preventing childhood substance abuse. And I am a writer at the New York Times and the Atlantic and lots of other places.
And I'm Serena Bowen. I'm the author of 30-odd romance novels, and you can find my work at serenabowen.com or at an ebook store near you.
And I am KJ Delantonia, the former editor of the New York Times' Motherload blog, the author of the book How to Be a Happier Parent, and of a novel coming out this summer. Super excited about that. If this is your first time listening, welcome. And if not, you've heard us say this sort of thing before, but I want to let you know right up front that you can find the show notes for the AmWriting podcast at amwritingpodcast.com, because creativity in, naming your website is not a good plan. AmWritingPodcast.com is where you can also sign up to get an email whenever we record a new episode. And while you're there, you could also sign up to support the podcast with a small contribution. Podcast production is paid for by our sponsor, but your support pays for our time and our website and our transcript and a whole bunch of other things that go into getting us together every week so we can talk to you. Supporters also get weekly top fives filled with actionable advice you can use and occasional mini podcasts, little shots of inspiration recorded by one of us that can come straight into your podcast app. So check that out too at amwritingpodcast.com. And now, the actual
on to the show.
Exactly.
On to the show.
It seemed like we should sing or something, right?
Well, can I say one real thing really quickly before we get into our topic? Because as I was introducing myself, I was thinking about the fact that the science and the terminology and the language around what we now call substance use disorder is changing so fast that as I write this book, I'm having to go back, even in like this, you know, I just finished the book, I'm already having to go back and change some of the language because, substance abuse actually is a term that we're not using anymore, but it's a term that, you know, a year ago was pretty much completely fine. And so I'm already having to change linguistic stuff, conventions around the book that I just finished. So
wow.
In terms of, I know, and in terms of, you know, I was talking to someone recently about the fact that really no book is ever totally completely done because you could always go back and re-edit it. But these are the battles of writing nonfiction, is that world changes and terminology changes. And so I have to correct myself even in something I said 2 minutes ago.
That's out of date now. We don't say that anymore.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about it because this week's top five is about starting a new nonfiction project. And actually thinking about that, one of the things I would probably add would be, you know, your terminology. What terminology are you going to use and why?
Yeah, well, and
yeah,
being ready to change it. Because
exactly. Exactly.
It's just the way it works.
But today's topic is so good. Let's get in.
Okay. So we're going to talk about our 2019 goals and whether or not we got there or how we got there. Or
if we changed them, which is completely valid
them.
Too.
Yes. And I guess, you know, before we even start, we talk, and we'll talk about this more next week when we actually set our 2020 goals, but we talk every year about the importance of setting two kinds of goals, which is the kinds of goals that you can control and the kinds of goals that other people control. So, for example, you know, pitch the New Yorker 3 times is a goal you can control. Get published in the New Yorker? Sorry.
I want control over anything, everything.
So, you know, when we talk about our goals, it's kind of fun to look at, well, okay, did I do everything that I could to get that to happen?
I was actually just going to say, I just finished listening to a book a couple weeks ago where the main character who has been a writer for a long time but has never really written nationally ever before pitches for her first time ever to the New Yorker, and it is immediately published with no questions asked.
Oh, that's how it works.
I don't know, KJ, you go first.
Back through the last few books you've read and trying to remember which one that might be. Well, we'll discuss. It's funny that a writer would put that in.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it worked beautifully for the story, but
I bet it did.
Not so well for reality.
Any story.
Well, yep. You know, the entire romance novel industry is based on writing wish fulfillment.
That's true.
So why not?
Romancing the New Yorker.
Right.
If you can get the romantic partner, you can get the publication of your dreams.
Maybe we could have a whole new genre, like
I know, girl meets magazine, girl meets publisher.
And like it would all be, she tries to.
Will they or won't they? What's the tension that keeps them apart?
The dream boat says yes in the end.
Whatever your dream boat may be.
Right. I want the publication writer meet cute. I want to read that part. Okay. Okay, KJ, why don't you go first with your goals?
Okay. All right.
Because you've had a busy year.
I've had a busy year. So when I wrote my goals in January, they were find a publisher for The Chicken Sisters, which is my novel, and yay.
Ding.
Woo-hoo. Big fat check. My second, and that was outside of my control, but so I had listed underneath it, you know, things that were inside my control, which was to, you know, finish it and polish it and help to my agent picking the right editors and work on my platform to make sure that I'm, you know, as publishable as I could be. I did all that, but happily the thing outside my control also clicked. Inside my control was write new project, finish draft. Sort of inside my control. Anyway, to the extent that you can control your own creativity, that was arguably within my control, and I did not. That is, it will not be finished, but that is okay.
You have made major progress, though, which I have makes made that progress. Softens that a little bit.
Yeah. I also had on my list of goals working on the amount of money we sink into the hashtag HamWriting podcast and trying to, you know, help us out with that, finding a way for our listeners to support us. And, you know, check. We did that.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yep.
And then I had promoting how to be a happier parent. I pretty much did that. I had write 3 essays and I wrote 2. I got to a non-writing essay point in my life in the summer. Transition from parenting writer to writer, which was kind of a weird amorphous thing, but I think I've succeeded. I feel transitioned.
You have.
Yeah. I feel good about it. So yeah, those were my goals. I'm hesitating because we talked about this earlier, but one of the things that happened to me this year that kind of shifted my goals from, you know, write 3 essays and send out an email list every week was that I got diagnosed with breast cancer, which was not super fun, in May, and had to deal with that all summer. And, you know, you guys have gotten some inklings of that on the podcast, and I've mentioned it in a couple other places. A lot of listeners will already know that, but it really, obviously, it took a lot of time.
We did a lot of vague casting about it, mainly because you weren't ready to talk about it yet.
Well, I wasn't, and I was. It's nicer to know whether you're gonna. It's nicer to know whether you're gonna die before you. And I'm not. To sum up, I am not gonna die from this right now. and I'm pretty much through treatment. I'm still dealing with some stuff that make me tired, and that is undoubtedly part of why I did not finish my new project. I actually hadn't even thought of that until exactly this moment, but
what?
Why, yes. That's probably
you hadn't really thought about
finish.
That? Oh,
no, I really hadn't.
KJ.
Well, not in this context.
Okay, right. Well, I think your number of things that you checked off that list, given, you know, how you spent 3 months at least of this year, like, dealing with that, is pretty darn awesome.
I did check most of those off before May, it has to be said. Like, we must have checked in right before this happened, because I've got notes on this page that are uh-huh. like, May check-in, and there's all these happy faces, and... Yes, it must have been right before. But yeah, so coping with that was big. And also, it really made me think, you know, one of the things that I want to do is not just write about experiences, but spend a lot of time. No, that isn't even really what I wanted to say. Mostly what I realized was that I wanted to spend as much time with people face to face as I possibly could. And I set a new goal for that. And I think I've really achieved that. So I'm pretty happy.
You really have.
Yeah. I'm pretty happy about the amount of time and effort that I've put into connecting with my more distant people this year. So additional goal added and also I think achieved.
Absolutely.
I had a very important goal. It was actually on my list of goals. Teach my cat to do high fives. Check. Really? You taught your cat to high five? Have you not seen this? This
is totally she sent us texts about
Instagram.
It.
Yes, where you can follow me on Instagram at KJDA, and I will put my high-fiving cat back in there. I only taught one cat. But that was actually my only goal. I did not say I had to teach all the cats, just one cat. So,
okay.
Gold star to you.
There are some things that are very important to achieve, and that is clearly one of them. And I'm very impressed.
That was huge. It was huge.
Wow. My mind is blown.
There are some other lists things on this. Is like, I've got the secondary personal list, organized basement, didn't happen. There's some other make photo albums. Yeah. But the cat spends
the cat can
hours
shake
and hours
it.
Yep. Sitting on the stairs waiting for someone to high five her and give her a treat. So I created a monster, but I did achieve my goal.
Oh, I never knew.
I can't believe.
All right. So should I
please?
Should I plunge ahead here? So my goals for 2019 were well informed by that thing that KJ was talking about where you set goals that you are not in control of, because I totally blew that up in 2018. So I got smarter last year and I did a pretty good job. And my top thing was all about healthy habits. And I mean this with regard to writing, like work on paper or offline. And yes, I did.
You have done amazing at that.
Yeah. Build in exercise that, you know, I walked 10% more this year than the previous year. So I don't know if 10% is as much growth as I was looking for there, but okay. And there's some meal planning stuff that's too boring to tell you all about. But I basically, by putting this on my goal list, made myself think about it more. And, you know, these are things that I can't actually check off or not because they're a little bit vague, but I really did focus on them, which was really the point. So then the rest of them are more, you know, hardcore business stuff. So number two was grow my email list to 50,000 people. And I did it. I'm actually at 55 right now. And this, in this little marketing section, I also had working on alternatives to Facebook advertising, which I definitely put in the time, but I, you know, there were no
You cannot create
there.
Alternatives to Facebook.
Yeah, but I meant to explore them.
Yeah.
So I looked at things like Amazon marketing services where you have your book pop up as a suggestion at the top of the search screen and all that stuff. And I did BookBub advertising and things like that. So I learned a lot. Meh.
Well, and I have to say, you did a one of our top fives that our subscribers got was about BookBub, which was incredibly valuable. And coincidentally, that same week, my book became a BookBub featured deal. And it's what was so fascinating is in your BookBub top five introduction to BookBub sort of thing, you talked about the power of BookBub, and man, it was really brought home to me because my book went on sale for $1.99 and it was advertised at BookBub and it went into the top five for nonfiction at Apple Books, which was crazy to me, but also really hammered home for me the power of that platform and investing some time into BookBub. And that's coming from a nonfiction author. It's even, I mean, arguably it's even more powerful for a fiction writer.
It's definitely more powerful in fiction. Absolutely. But yeah. They are such an interesting company. They know things that like the big five publishers should know but don't. So then I had defend my precious time, and I had strategies for that, like avoiding my inbox before 10 a.m., which I failed miserably at this year, but it's going back on the list probably next year. And generally, it can wait, and setting aside marketing time. And then, okay, I had write five things.
Okay.
And for some
anything
of us, that would mean 500-800 word essays, but no, that's not what it means for Serena.
It meant five novels, yes. And I did actually finish five novels, but two of them were co-written.
That counts.
But I realized that write five things was the wrong terminology. So next week when we set our goals, I'm changing it. But I also had this idea that I wanted 60 days of focus on a project followed by a month of dreaming, which is what I wrote, which meant, you know, planning and allowing myself to think about other things. And I didn't manage to structure my year that way. Like, the year would just not be tamed in that fashion. But I did recognize that intense work on a project followed by time when I'm allowed to not finish anything was really crucial, which is why this month, December, I don't have any deadlines. And I have been plotting just like crazy, just like plotting this book, plotting that book, and not everything that I plot will get written. But this is a way of sort of writing into the idea a little bit to figure out what is worthy of being finished next year. And to try to, you know, be more selective. And this is something that I really started thinking hard about in September when KJ and I went to this retreat with Jenny Nash and the Author Accelerator Program. And she teaches you how to do this. And I learned a ton from Author Accelerator, and I'm definitely still carrying around those ideas. So that will also figure into my next year strategy. I also have on here write shorter / write to trope, meaning that I wanted to structure my novels where I was never losing sight of the trope and that I was able to turn in a book at 70,000 words instead of 95. Big failure here. This year I turned in my first 100,000 word novel, and it deserved it. Like, there was a lot of plot and a lot of world building that I will then have open to me for the next book in that series. But I can't point to anything where I actually wrote a little shorter than I would have written it in 2018.
And I ask you what that means in practice, Serena, when you say write to trope? How does that help you stay? Number one, how does that work in practice, like in the actual guts of the writing? And number two, how does that help you stay shorter?
Okay, well, in genre fiction specifically, tropes are, you know, what is this story? Like, is this a one-night stand book? Or is this friends to lovers? Or is this enemies to lovers? And romance readers really choose their books by trope. And in other genres, it's also true. It's just a little better buried. Like,
I noticed that your website is actually searchable by trope, or some website I was on recently was searchable by trope.
It is. But also, you know, KJ and I were just enjoying this book, Tuesday Mooney Talks to Ghosts, and it's a terrific novel that does not easily slot into, you know.
No, but it has them.
But yes, the tropes are there, and the people who pick it up are interested in that, like, oh, puzzles. Like there's a clue to a
team
thing.
Team solving a puzzle.
Right.
That's, I mean, that's a trope. I
right.
mean, and looking at what you read can help you spot the tropes you might like to write and can make life easier. That's been an experience that I've been having
right.
this year.
So when I wrote write shorter and write to trope, I meant to keep it tight to this thing, because if that's what mm-hmm. the reader picked up my book for, then I was going to deliver that thing and not, you know, write all over the map instead.
Gotcha.
But I was only partly successful. And the thing is, I feel that my style of writing, where I'm basically trying to reinvent the darn genre on every book, in some ways contributes to reader loyalty, because I have built these worlds that require a little more flesh on the bones. Like my, mm-hmm. you know, the Vermont series is very, has a lot going on with that family. And if I were to leave out an update on Grandpa, then people would complain. People would get mad. Like, you know, so it partly my failure to do this is a result of a rich world. But if I am able to keep my eye on that, and it's possible that I could save myself some time and trouble.
Gotcha.
So,
that makes a lot of sense.
Yep. So I wrote fail next to that one with a big fat exclamation point. So also dig into a non-romance, because good Lord, someday I'm going to be burnt out on meet cutes. And I kind of did that. I have a young adult project in development and it's going to take a while. But I dug in a little bit and I think that was really fun. And I discovered how hard it is to move away from the thing that you do, you know, all the time. But that was really great. And finally, I wrote 400,000 words. That, I guess, was my word count goal. And I think I made it, except I think I made it. I don't know. How many words is that a month?
That's a lot of words.
33,333. Yeah, I made it, except, like I said, I wrote some really long books. So that
they didn't add up in the way that you
that's
wanted
right.
them to.
They didn't translate to what I thought I was doing.
Like you could write
three
50,000 word books or 275,000. And that's not right. But
exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Terms of sort of result.
Right.
Yeah. Write shorter is going to be on my list for
next
year. But again, that's coming up next week.
Right. So,
yep.
And lastly, the last thing on my goals list was give freely. Help other authors, help other businesses, help other women. And I wrote next to that one, yep, but I can do more.
Hmm. Yeah.
And I don't mean give away all my time. I mean, you know,
right.
the generosity of spirit sometimes, you know, helps you find those ways that you can give without, like, crushing yourself.
Right.
So.
Well, and I like the specifics of, like, where you want to give your time. It's like, I don't see volunteer at my children's school.
No, you know, funny study. Enough, that
funny
is
enough,
not written here.
It's not on Serena's list.
Send an elaborate dish to every soccer team potluck is not on this list.
Also not on that list. Amazing that. Yeah.
Okay.
Jess?
Yes,
goals,
ma'am.
You.
Okay, so this year, this was a big year for me as well. My very first goal was, of course, to finish the new book by July 31st, which was later changed to October 15th, which was a very, very good decision. I also could have changed that date to December 1st, and I talked with Serena about it a little bit and said, look, I can get it done by October 15th, but December would make me a lot less stressed out. But in the end, I think keeping it to October 15th and pushing myself and putting myself under that pressure was really, really good for me. I tend to work best when I'm, you know, out of bed in the morning, get my coffee, sit down. There's no time to play around. And it came down to hours with this deadline.
Really
and I'm really proud of the work I did. And also having it done gave me a breathing space for a vacation / work week that was really essential to me. So I met that. I'm hugely proud of myself. I now have lots of time to edit, as I've mentioned, because my pub date is now in 2021, April 2021. Tons of time to edit, tons of time to do a lot of the other things that are on the next goal. Because number two, goal was think ahead. And by the way, under finished book by July 31st, I had some, you know, some things I could control, like burn chart for my chapters that I wanted to send off and, you know, how many hours per day or, you know, what a sticker means in order to get to that goal. So number two was start to think ahead. And what that means is think ahead for marketing and promotion for the new book. And that means, you know, be thinking ahead about the galley list. Who do I want to add? And I have a running spreadsheet that I keep and email myself and email my assistant. And I'm constantly adding to that. Number two under that was build the audience for the new book. And that means using Twitter. That means talking to people. That means asking people for advice, asking people if they know anyone who might be interested in this topic. And that's been really fun. It's also part of becoming, there's a certain amount of work you have to do to establish yourself as an expert in a field. And when you're new to a field and no one knows who you are, there's a lot of work to be done just to build trust and to build rapport. And that's what I've been trying to work on a lot. Listening a lot is actually not telling people, hi, you should trust me, but listening a lot and earning people's trust and being willing to be a student again, which is really important. The next thing under that was excerpts, and I have definitely been thinking about what excerpts are going to be available for publication month, you know, what I could pick out for an article. And then also thinking about the last thing under thinking ahead was think about what articles you could be writing that are also novel. Things like, you know, do I want to place something at, you know, in New York Times Magazine, or do I want to put, you know, where would be the best place to put and what should that article be? Because ideally what you want is not just, hi, here's an excerpt of my book, but something that's going to really get people talking about the subject and get a lot of play in terms of, you know, the topic itself. So those are all, I have spreadsheets for each, and I'm feeling pretty good about that. Plus, given so much time before release date, I'm going to have a good, healthy chunk of time to do that. Number three was my really weird but good goal. I'm really glad I had this one, which was find out if I want to start a recovery high school. And I have not definitively decided, but I have done a ton of research and I now have my head around what that would involve. And I have not ruled it out and I have not said I'm going to do it, but I am number three under that was be realistic about my obligations and what it would take. And I feel like I'm in a place now to assess what that is and what it really would take to start it. I've talked to other people who have started schools. I've talked to other people who have started recovery high schools. So I feel like I've done that. That's a big check mark. So this year has been a big check mark year for me. And my by the way, my word of the year was focus. And I definitely have improved my focus this year. That was a big important goal for me, focusing on what my purpose is and what I'm doing at the moment and being really engaged in the thing itself as opposed to trying to do 10 things at once. And that's been, I'm getting better at that.
I think you definitely are. You've been so focused this year. It's been kind of amazing.
And what was really interesting is someone asked us to talk a little bit about they want me to do a little mini podcast about my process of, you know, when you do that research and then when you pivot and start getting the words down on the page and how I know I'm ready and how I actually do that. I think I am going to do a mini podcast about that because part of that is about focus and part of that is just about a tipping point where you feel like you've mastered an area. And so that has been getting over the frustration of not being able to write things faster because I simply wasn't ready from a research standpoint. Having a little patience with myself has been a big important part of this year too.
I think in fiction, there's this sort of when you're going to stop trying to figure out what the book's about and just trying to write. And that is a different spot for everyone, I am pretty sure. But it's always a question. So I didn't talk about my word of the year, which was worthy. It was a good word. And that stuck with me, you know, and I wanted to,
that was a great word.
Spend my time on worthy things. And I wanted to eat worthy things. And I wanted to spend my time with worthy people, which sounds a little weird, but it, you know, some people are kind of suction cups of doom. I wanted to skip them in favor of other people that were not that. So I
think you did a great job with that.
I liked my word of the year. I don't think Serena did a word of the year. She has to do it one this year. Did you do a word of the year?
Okay. I don't remember, but I definitely wasn't on that podcast, so nobody can tell me what it was. But I definitely have one for next week, so I'm good.
Okay. All right. Oh, good. I've got mine already, too. Oh, this is
I do not.
How will people possibly wait?
I have three written down, and none of them feel quite right yet, so I have not found just the right thing yet. So
I think we've talked about
whether we did it.
Better goals, and now... Yeah, it's a question of figuring out what they are for next year. I think I'm going to my goals this year were super tight and focused. I don't know. I think I might go back to thinking a little bit more about how I work as opposed to what I what the end products are. So I might set a few goals that are around how things are happening, not just whether or not the thing is,
right.
Yeah.
Here's what's crazy is this stuff that we're going to talk about next week, I'm going to look so much more Serena-like because I have multiple projects that I'm going to be, the editing phase on one thing and the new proposal phase on another and then production phase. So this year, I'm going to have one of those fancy Serena calendars.
Ooh.
It's crazy time. I know. I'm going to have to review how you do yours because I definitely have to start thinking about how to allot my time because it would be very easy because I like to work deep. It would be very easy for me to sink completely into a new thing and forget that the editing's not done or get into the editing and not move at all on the research for the new proposal. So I'm definitely going to try to channel a little bit of Serena into my life while I'm planning this coming year.
I have been feeling for the past 3 weeks or so like everything is like I'm wrestling an octopus and I cannot get the octopus's, the legs are flapping all over the place and there's suckers falling out and grabbing me, slapping me across the face. It's a very damp and uncomfortable experience. I haven't made a list of things to do since I was a week ago Monday, and all the things on that list are not done. But I've done other things because I'm just sort of randomly, I'm whacking moles. I'm putting out fires and I'm not happy that way, but I've been struggling to back off from the things I felt like I needed to do in order to figure out what are the things that are really important to do. So I've got to get a handle on that again before we duck next so that I can actually set some goals and not feel quite so much like I'm just spinning. I'm not spinning wheels. I'm just spinning wildly with an octopus. Envision that.
Well, actually, there's a video out there right now, a video of a bald eagle that was in the grip of an octopus, and a person went out and rescued this bald eagle from a big red octopus that had totally gotten it all wrapped up in its tentacles.
Where?
So that's our image for today.
Find the link for that, honey.
I will send that and I'll put it in the show notes. Can we talk about what we've been reading? Because some of us have school pickup.
All right,
let's do it. Who wants to go first?
I'll go. On KJ's recommendation, I read The Bromance Book Club.
Okay, so did I.
The Bromance Book Club!
and on you read it on KJ's recommendation, and then you went all Instagram-y on it. And so, of course, I had to read it next. It was great.
Well, not only is it just good, but it's such a meta read for people who think about romance novels all the time, because what she managed to do was, first of all, in this book are lots of things romance authors say about the genre's purpose in life. And also, but she managed to flip that around and put those things in the mouths of men, which was just hilarious. And I think she's a genius.
It's so funny.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, it just had such great moments. So if you're thinking...
Yeah, the writing was funny and there were...
Of a little light holiday read. Oof, good one.
Well, the nice thing of the funny thing, I was laughing out loud on an airplane while listening to it. And there were just a few moments where I'm like, oh man, I can't text them right now because I don't have any Wi-Fi on the plane. But yeah, I definitely was laughing out loud at that one. It was really fun.
So I read Unmarriageable: Pride and Prejudice in Pakistan by Sonia Kamal. It's S-O-N, I'm pretty, yeah, S-O-N-I-A-H. This is a tough script on the cover of this book.
Is it nonfiction or is it fiction?
Pride and Prejudice in Pakistan.
Huh.
It's a Pride and Prejudice rewrite. I'm pretty much a sucker for a good Pride and Prejudice rewrite, and this is a good Pride and Prejudice rewrite. What's really interesting about this is that it's hard to, a lot of people who want to modernize the Pride and Prejudice story kind of struggle with the fact that women don't have to get married now. Well, welcome to 1990s Pakistan, where, in fact, you really get pulled into this world in which it's still important, and yet it's not important, and yet it's still important, and yet it's not important. I thought she did a really great job with it. And it also, it's fun. It's a super fun read. And as a writer, sort of, it's kind of interesting to see the story structure that we're so familiar with put into a different setting, and she was able to really stick to it, I think, in a way that you couldn't if you weren't writing about Pakistan. Anyway, I enjoyed it.
That sounds interesting.
It was a good one. I'll have to do an Instagram book chat about that one.
Well, I finished out pretty much the standalone Christina Lauren oeuvre. I did. I got through, what else? I finished Love in Other Words. I listened to The Unhoneymooners, which was very, very funny. Dating You, Hating You, which is set in in agenting. Josh and Hazel's Guide to Not Dating. I listened to that one, and my favorite, Half Night Stand. So I made my way through the Christina Lauren oeuvre and enjoyed pretty much all of them. And then, of course, listened to the Bromance Book Club. I had travel this week, so lots of listening time. And I actually downloaded, have not started listening yet, so I have no opinion on this book whatsoever. But Christina Lauren wrote two YAs, and so I downloaded The House, which was the better reviewed one of the two, so I will get back to you on that one. But enjoyed working my way through their books. It was very fun.
Awesome.
Oh, and KJ had recommended Evie Drake Starts Over, and I started listening to that one while I was out working in the woods yesterday, and it is totally delightful. That was you, KJ.
Yeah, that was fun. That, right? Yeah, I liked Evie Drake. Yeah. It was super fun.
Yep. You know, it's got all kinds of, again, I laughed out loud during that one. And I'm to the point now, I mentioned this to Serena, that these narrators have become very familiar voices, because there are certain narrators that are just in a lot of books. And I noticed in Evie Drake Starts Over, I know that Julia Whelan is the female narrator in that book, and I definitely have heard her in other books. And I'm to the point now where I go and hit that narrator button to figure out. It's sort of like when you go to IMDb to figure out where you've seen an actor before.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing that on Audible and a lot of other platforms. You can, you know, click on the narrator's name and see what else the narrator has done. But I even scored a big win because Serena told me that I had guessed correctly that this one guy was a narrator in the book I was listening to under a completely different name. And I was very impressed with myself for recognizing his voice without a name attached to it.
Gold audio star fan.
I know, really.
Yeah,
really
narrator
good.
Audio fan star.
Right.
Yeah.
Narrators have pseudonyms too.
Well, and actually, Tim asked me why, and I said maybe because if you get too attached, too sort of hooked into one series, you would want to detach yourself from that persona. Is that why a narrator might have another name?
Well,
do you know?
Some people don't want to be pigeonholed in romance, but
yeah.
There's a ton of work in romance, so
yeah,
they want to, you know, use a different name for other projects so that a casting person at Audible Studios doesn't look them up and see only, you know.
Gotcha.
Yeah. The Shakespeare,
that makes sense.
Secret baby cowboy story, or, you know. Anyway, that's why.
All right. So next week, people, it's goals. Goals and our words of the year. So
I'm ready.
Be thinking.
It's
prep.
It's going to be great.
Get your own goals ready.
Before we sign off.
Yeah.
Let's invite everybody to, you know, take a minute. Follow us all in all the places. I'm at KJDA on Instagram. Serena is at Serena Bowen.
Serena.Bowen.
Uh-huh. Serena.Bowen. Jess?
Jess is Teacher Leahy on Instagram, whereas I am at Jess Leahy on Twitter.
And we all have emails. You can find mine at followkj.com. You can find Serena's, I happen to know, at serenabowen.com. No dot there. And I don't know, Jess.
And
Jess is
ditto.
Probably working
you can
on hers.
No, you can go to my website and use the contact form, which frankly is just my email. So there you go.
Yeah. No, I meant you're working on sending one.
Oh, that. Yeah.
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 I've been working on getting one back together, but that's a topic
maybe,
next week.
Maybe that's going to go on my goals list.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that. All right.
Until next week, everyone, keep your butt in the chair and your head in the game. This episode of Hashtag MWriting with Jess and KJ was produced by Andrew Perella. Our music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and performed by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their services because everyone, even creatives, should be paid for their work. Save. Pause.